Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Oh my goodness, I have the most amazing paradigm shifter who's going to bring up the light in you, Georgina Jones, it is, right?
Yes, very much so. Thank you.
And Jones is such a Welsh name, is it not?
Yes, I think most people in Wales are either Jones, Williams, Thomas. But there is, the famous Tom Jones, we can't forget him.
Is he Welsh?
He is, yes. He's from a place called Pontypridd, which is probably about 20 minutes away from where I'm sitting now.
Oh, wow, that's exciting. Well, Georgina, I watched your TED Talk, and I was very, very touched. I'm an intuitive and also a light worker, which you're very much a light worker. And you have a really entrancing and very simple tool for people to use. It made me chuckle, and I went, well, that works like a hot dang, and I think we should pass that on. So let's first of all talk about who you are and then get into your magical tool and how you got there. So who are you? How did you get on the planet?
Yeah, and that's really odd actually, because I was watching one of your videos earlier, and I watched the fantastic video and you were talking about who am I? So that's interesting how that question has come up already today.
It's a Ramana Maharshi kind of thing, isn't it? Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's beautiful. I'm going to definitely try that in my meditation.
Okay.
So my name's George, George to many people, Georgina or George, and I'm based here in the UK in Wales, and I own a company called Turn Lights On. And Turn Lights On is a practice, and I've set up a group of principles how you can live, as I say, live life with your lights on. So that means how you can be awake, but you can only do turn lights on with other people. Turn lights on is about connection. It's about being completely present with other people. So if you practice turn lights on, you practice by turning 5 lights on a day. So that's basically going out into your life, into your world, connecting with 5 people. And that could be the bus driver. It could be your mother. It could be your children. It could be somebody that works and also works with you. And it also, the more you get into the practice, the more I encourage people to use this for not just for people that they resonate with, that you use it with all different types of people. So it just gets you to really connect deeply, authentically, and it's highly addictive.
Sounds like a good addiction. Well, how did you get into doing that? Like, were you always a light worker? Have you always been an independent person in terms of your business?
I've got quite an interesting journey, really. Oh, well, everyone's journey is interesting, isn't it? Everyone's story is interesting. But I'm a performer, I'm a singer.
So I
remember singing before I could speak. And I did a lot of singing. And then when I was about in my early 20s, I decided to do what most artists do. They go and get a proper job because they want to make sure that they can feed and clothe themselves. So I went to work for a large insurance firm. And I became a senior manager through that process. And I worked there for a very long time. And while I was working for that organization, I got into leadership and development and really helping people. And also my area was staff engagement. So I was working for a large organization, for an insurance company here based in the UK. And I worked in Asia for them. And also in the UK. And then I had that feeling, I call it the feeling, when you just can't settle. And you know that you have all these things that society say, oh, that makes us happy, such as the car and the job and the stuff. and I had all that stuff, but I wasn't happy because I wasn't singing. And so I set my first business up, which is called Sing and Inspire, and that was using singing to improve business results.
Oh, wow.
So I did that some time, and the business is still very much running at the moment, and we set up all these wonderful choirs in organizations to help people turn their lights on, really, to help them connect with other people. And then what happened was, when I was working in blue chip organizations in the UK, people were saying, we want our people to have this energy that you've got, and we want them to feel motivated and enthused in their job. So but then they give me this challenge of saying, well, the thing is, we don't really want them to sing because we haven't got enough room for them to sing.
I love that.
So they give me this challenge of, we want you to do it, but without the singing. So I thought, ooh, this is exciting. So I developed some programs for them, looking at presence, looking at all the magic that you get from singing without singing. And it was a term that I was using with people. I was saying, turn your light on, when I was helping them with presentation skills or helping them with communication skills. And then I just had this almighty feeling of something that had found me. Because I say that I'm the cheerleader for Turn Light On. It's not my idea. It was given to me by whatever and whoever. And then I started writing the book of Turn Light On. So I wrote my book, my first book, in 2013. And then from that, the business has developed into something that I never thought was going to be as massive as it's become, really, and growing. So, yes, one tiny little idea has turned into something of much bigger, and it's abundant.
Well, you know, one of the things I love, George, I call you George, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I
think of George Eliot, and I go, oh, yeah, so literary too. Okay? Is that you have a gift as a singer, and I always tell people it's so healing when we can touch our own gifts, or we can get into a role of fulfillment, you know, that. And you have a natural affinity for that. One of the things that I want to say, that I am not like you, but when I get stuck, I sing all the time. And because I learned that it hitches the right and left sides of the brain, it also helps with the throat chakra. So I keep saying, sing. People say, I can't. I go, I don't care if you're on key or off key. Just get the two halves of your brains going. So I'm impressed by your root. And then this thing about turning on the light. You better tell us how to do that.
Okay. So the first thing is, it comes with a real sort of disclaimer that in order for us to turn someone's light on, in order for us to be completely present with another human being, we have to turn our own light on first. And from working with people over the last 15 years, I am I'm always disappointed in the way that we are so hard to ourselves, so down on ourselves, and we really do not give that sort of self-love piece. Is something that is massively important within the Turn Lights On practice. So the first thing is looking after your own light, because I can't authentically connect with someone if I'm tired, if I'm hungry, if I'm thinking about other things, if I'm living in my ego, if I'm fearful, if I'm off track, because I just can't, I'm not going to authentically be there and allow myself to.
I mean,
just
if you're on the
moment,
phone while you're trying to connect with them, or you're doing a text.
Exactly. People know when you're like, when I'm speaking to you now and I can see your face on the photograph, and I'm just focusing on your face. I'm trying to be as connected to you as possible because I'm having a conversation, and that tension is absolutely crucial to the way that we connect with each other. So the first thing is looking after your own light. So that is, I always encourage people to have a morning practice. And the things that people say is, I'm busy with the kids, so I'm busy in the morning and I'm not a morning person, and things like that come up. But I just say to them that you will get the time back throughout the day, tenfold,
right?
Definitely. It's taking them moments in the morning to work out what your intention is that day, to be grateful that you've got another day on planet Earth, and to also thank every single billion cell in this amazing body that you've been given. So it's really getting in a place of sheer gratitude and really topping your own energy up, so you feel that's all you want to do is turn someone's light on, because you've got so much energy you just want to give it away. And then when you do come in contact with people, it's just making sure that this isn't an exercise of being the most, it's not about you being gregarious, it's not about being an extrovert, it's about listening and really being there with someone. And do you know what happens, Veronica, which is really interesting? Some people say when I approach people and I'm there to turn their lights on, they'll say, "Do I know you?" And I love that so much. But whether, and they might have known me once upon a time, but that level of, wow, you're connecting on such a different level than just hello. So that can be so powerful, and such magic can happen when we connect, when we, I call it ping pong conversation, when it's sort of like, "Hi, how are you?" "Yes, I'm fine." And we're not really getting into the juice. Mm-hmm. We're not getting into that level of really connecting with someone. And where, and if you think of the way that we connect with each other, we connect and we produce oxytocin. So we produce that chemical that allows us to deeply connect. Mm-hmm. So my thoughts, I'm not a scientist, but my thoughts are, right, okay, so we're hardwired to connect with people. Lack of social interaction is as harmful for your health as 15 cigarettes a day. Hmm. So it's that serious for us not to connect. So if we're hardwired to do it, naturally, we should have a practice in our life that allows us to do this, that encourages us to do this, and also for us to reap the benefits from it.
Do you have children?
No, but this is brilliant with children. Children love turning people's lights on. I remember once I was working with 7-year-old children in a school. And I was teaching them how to sing a piece of music. They were a little choir and they were doing a competition. And I said, without talking about what Turn Lights On was about, I just literally said to a group of 7-year-olds, I said, "Turn your lights on for me." And their body posture changed. Their eyes sparkled. Their smiles came out. And they intuitively knew what I meant. I have done the same exercise in a law firm.
Oh, really? And that worked as well?
It was interesting, because there were some people there that would get it, and I did it deliberately to really facilitate the conversation. And it was really interesting. I got some blank looks. I got some defensive behavior, because people will be nervous on allowing themselves to go into presence, allowing themselves to be vulnerable. Because if I'm present, I'm vulnerable. Mm-hmm. My ego does not want me to be present at all. So it's really interesting how we. One of the focuses that I'd like to do in my lifetime is develop a program called Little Lights, which it would be just for children, because it would be my goal, Veronica. So I'd be able to say, do you know this magic presence you have now and you're only seven? This is going to be so important for your life. Please never forget it.
Aww.
And so we don't forget it and we keep it with us forever because it's a superpower.
Well, George, have you ever done that with seniors who are in a home for aging people that can't function very well? Have you ever tried that?
No, do you know what? This is interesting. I'm just going through the catalogue of work that I've done in my lifetime, and I've never really... In the first business that I co-founded, Sing and Inspire, we did some amazing work with a cancer charity, and we worked with cancer survivors and sufferers on the power of singing.
Oh.
And it was using singing to aid the recovery of cancer. And there is a fantastic piece of research that they have developed. They have now 15 choirs of all of these wonderful people, because the majority of people get cancer when they're over 50. Mm-hmm. In Wales, that is, anyway. I don't know what the statistics are globally. Mm-hmm. But that you would... So there was lots of... and also, which is quite interesting, with singing, the melodic memory, the ancient part of the brain, the melodic memory, is a way that we remember songs. So you'll find that dementia patients are very susceptible to the power of music as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think using presence and using this energy and this light to connect with all levels from 7 to 70 year olds can be super powerful.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I want to tell just a very, very short story. As some of us were singing Christmas carols in an Alzheimer's ward one Christmas. Mm-hmm. We weren't patients. But in any case, there was a fellow there who was flat on his wheelchair. You know how they flatten them out. He hadn't spoken for 5 years. And in the middle and the woman who was playing the music had dementia, so she played the same songs over and over, which was great harmony practice for some of us. But all of a sudden, this gentleman who had not spoken for 5 years began singing harmony in German to Silent Night. And we all cried, you know. And his voice was beautiful.
Oh, how wonderful.
Isn't that a great story?
It's the power of music and the power of connection, because I don't know where I heard this, but somebody told me once, and I don't know whether this was a medical person, so this could be, I don't know this for a fact, however, somebody told me that when people sing in a choir or when they sing communal, so there's lots and lots of people singing at the same time, everyone's heartbeat regulates at the same time.
Ah, isn't that wonderful?
I know. I want that to be. If it isn't true, I'm going to be disappointed. But if I want that to be true, and it feels like it should be true. But yeah, it's a marvelous thing to... And a great way to break through language. I remember when I was in New York about 3 years ago. And you know the boy or the girl from Ipanema?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So there was a guy singing it in the restaurant, and he was singing it in Spanish. And I started singing it in English. And then this lady started singing it in French. It was a quartet by the end of it. And it was so beautiful to just hear all of these different voices, but singing the same song, but in different languages.
Oh.
And it's universal language music is powerful. Mm-hmm.
Oh my, that's beautiful. It's like chanting will often move from random into harmonizing as well, hey?
Definitely.
Wow, you're very, very interesting. The light, when you say bringing up your light, a lot of us are called light workers. You're one of those too. And I'm going, well, that everybody's got the light, right? Everyone has it in them. So when you say bring up the light, we all innately know that, do we?
I think, so I have a theory. I have many theories.
I love theories.
They're all theories. So from my view, I think people's light within themselves, I always recommend people to do something that turns their light on. Mm-hmm. So what is it in their life that makes them lose time? And I believe the more that they spend time in doing that, so that could be from fishing to writing a piece of music to walking in nature to whatever makes you feel connected, whatever connects you to that light. And the more you spend time in that light, the more that light can shine and for other people. So really making sure that you're connecting with that. But what happens, Veronica, a lot of the time is when I work with people, and I normally work in corporate settings, so I work with people that are very busy lives, maybe fill their lives with lots of shoulds and lots of musts, and feel that they haven't got time for these whimsical things, for these things that that maybe you might do on holiday or once a year, or and they don't realize that they are a priority for their being and their essence, and really getting them to spend time in that area so they can share that light and they can get more comfortable with shining their light. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. That's wonderful. But does it always have to include like going on a walk or this or that? Because I think when you talked about the seven-year-olds, for example, you did that in an instant, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and that is true, isn't it? We have the power. I always say we create our own chemicals. Mm-hmm. So we have the power to create our own chemicals. We have the power to... I practice Reiki, so I give Reiki healing to myself every day, and I have that power within me. I activate that, and that's my choice. And I think people, the more that they can be connected to their intuition, and the more that they can be connected to their feeling and be mindful of their feeling, they could sit in a chair in a dark room and bring on that feeling of presence. And I always just give them a little sign to just sense the chair, sense the floor, wiggle their feet, and just it's tuning in and making sure that they can connect with themselves. An activity can help, but ultimately you can call on that energy because that energy is within us always.
Mm-hmm. And the more beliefs we have, the less it kind of shines automatically unless you're attuned, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So maybe you better put us through a little exercise. Are you willing to do that?
Oh, of course. What an exercise that I would practice with people?
Yeah, to turn our lights on.
Okay, brilliant. So let's have a little think. Yes, should we do the ball of energy light?
Sure, that sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm, I'm up for that.
Yeah. Are you sitting comfortably?
I am.
Wonderful. Okay. So what is really important now for us to find something, a chair that you can sit down on, and your two feet need to be flat on the floor. That's really important. So nice, grounded to the earth. And your two feet are flat on the floor. and just take some nice deep breaths. Just take another nice deep breath. And really feel that sense of when you exhale and that energy just drain into the flow. Just really drain into the flow. Almost like you're sinking into the chair. Nice. And you can feel that lovely sort of planting your feet on the floor. And so what we're going to do, this is a great exercise to practice in the morning. So this is a great exercise to top that energy up in the morning. So I'd like you to make sure that you are really comfortable, and I'd like you to think of a ball of light. And this ball of light is brilliant, and it's effervescent, and it is abundant, and it's bright white, and it's your own unique ball of light. And I'd like you to place that ball of light in your solar plexus, in your stomach area. Mm-hmm. And if it helps you, so you can place your hand on that area as well. So if it helps you, just keep that ball of light. And I want you to really focus on it. Breathe as you went. Really sort of focus on this ball of light. And I'd like you to imagine that this ball of light is almost like a tiny sort of coin, a coin size. If you keep your eyes closed, you just imagine it being just a coin size. And then what I'd like you to do is really focus on that ball of light. And I would like you to place a smile in that ball of light. So I'd like you to think of the light and the smile. So you're connecting that feeling to that ball of light. And now this coin, I'd like it to be a little bit bigger. I'd like you to take it to a tennis ball size. So this tennis ball. So, and with that feeling, that smile, is almost like increasing. And you may feel that your mouth might want to smile. That's absolutely fine. You may feel like your body would like to smile, if that makes sense. If you want to feel that smile in all of your being. So I'd like you to now think of that tennis ball of light. And sit with that for just a few moments. And breathe as you will. And I'd like you to think of the tennis ball now turning into as big as you want it to go. And you can feel it stretching, almost like it's the moon growing and growing and growing. And then this big ball of light is inside you. And that big ball of light is there waiting to shine, waiting to share. And you can feel it all throughout your being, all throughout your solar plexus, all throughout your own unique light. And then when you are ready, you can come back to me with your feedback.
I loved it. My body is just buzzing.
Is it? I've got it. There's with that exercise, we can take it as slow and as fast as you want to go, and it can really build and build and build. And the ball of light can turn into the universe. The ball of light can be any size that you want it to be, because that ball of light is your light, and it's abundant and it's ever flowing.
So you can be in it, or you can be having it in you, right? Either or both.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, with that exercise, that's why it's so important to have the smile there. It's the emotion. And it's that emotion that we give to people when we connect with them. It's magic. How there's nothing quite as wonderful as, do you know, when somebody looks in your eyes and sees you and hears you. And when you can do that to other people at as many times as you possibly can in communication, marvelous things happen for you, because you deeply connect with someone and they want to help you and you want to help them. So it's not, Turn Lights On is about helping other people. Yeah, granted. But it also, it brings things true to you. It attracts things to you because you are deeply connecting with people.
I love that. So do you think that we are evolving as a species where this light is more accessible to us?
I think, well, I going from my experience, I feel that people are searching at the moment, searching for this light. And what's happening is that the world that we live in, the system that we have been sold, is based on people telling us that we need things and we're not good enough and we're not enough. So a lot of people, instead of going within and looking for that ball of light, they're buying that ball of light in the form of, I don't know, shoes or handbags or drinks or holidays or whatever, that need to make you happy and that need to be filled by light, by your own energy. When I really do feel that there is a shift happening where people are realizing that it's within us, are realizing that everything that we have is what everything that we need is what we've got. We've already got what we need.
I love that. Also, I have to say this, looking at your picture, because I was focusing diligently here, being very attentive, your aura kept poking out. I really enjoyed that.
Good.
Yeah, I love the vitality of photographs. So as you talked about it, your aura was moving around you and pulsing. It's lovely. So thank you for that. Because I feel like you're exceptional in the sense of being not a trendsetter, but you know what I mean? You're an activator.
Mm, yeah, okay. I've been described as a catalyst.
Yeah.
So I'm one of the things that I'm really passionate about is energy. So I've got something called I've got something called Monday Like a Friday. So it's my little term, right? And Monday Like a Friday is basically having a Friday night feeling on a Monday morning and making sure that you are living every day, because there would be thousands, millions of people in the world right now that would give anything for another Monday. Mm-hmm. We don't realize how time is so precious. And why waste any Mondays? Why waste any of them? By the feeling of, the dread and, this is another Monday and I can't wait till Friday. And so I set up something called Monday Like a Friday, which is an event that I run. And it has a mind, body and soul experience. So it's basically, I do a silent disco for the people that are a little bit lively. I also do Qigong for the people that want to increase their energy. Mm-hmm. And then I have breakfast, so teas and coffees and cereals and juices and things. And then also have inspirational talks as well. So I normally do a talk, and then other people such as mindfulness experts, or I've had people that work in corporate environments speaking on various different topics. So it's all about increasing the energy that you have and getting on a high vibrational frequency. So you are you're feeling good and you're energized. I'm a big believer in getting people to really understand that we are like a kinetic watch. I explain it as we need to move. We need to have action in our lives. And it's not all about action. Mm-hmm. It's a balance. But it's just realizing that a balance is all about adjustment. You're adjusting all the time and moving constantly, and everything's constant. Did that answer your question, or did I ramble on about something
else? No, I like the rambling. I was just thinking that I saw a YouTube, a little video on Facebook, and it was about a kid who had ADD terribly. And he said it was like a hammer in his brain. He was 11 by the time they found out that they started out with dancing lessons. And with his dancing lessons, he could manage his brain. And I chuckled. I went, oh, yeah, he's just getting in step with these frequencies that are going too fast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. It's so surprising how I know that because I'm dyslexic. Mm-hmm. And I find that my dyslexia is very different when I've been moving. I do a morning walk every day. I practice yoga most days. And it does make a huge difference to the way that I think. Mm-hmm. I call it get out of your head and into your body. Because a lot of people live in their heads, and that's not a place to be. Your mind does not want to make you happy. Mm-mm. So it's just being mindful of getting out. And that's what Monday Like a Friday is about. That's what Turn Lights On is about. It's about living from your heart as much and taking your head with you. It's important for, again, using the word balance. It's about a balance a lot of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also your servant in a way, your mind, if we use it the right way, I think. But also when you talk about the Monday, I go, isn't it so that many people are anxious or tired or depressed by Monday? Because really in the office, a lot of people aren't attended to, aren't listened to, don't express themselves. Isn't it part of what your whole gift is in the world, is to liberate people from that feeling inside the office on a Monday? Because that's what Monday morning is, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've seen it over the last, over the last 15 years, I've seen a huge, especially in the UK, a real shift on health and well-being in organisations. There is a definite consciousness emerging. And it's not like, 15 years ago, it was novel to have a yoga teacher come into an office.
I know.
Now this is happening much more. And so organizations are really looking at authentic leadership, intuitive leadership. I work in companies and I am talking about energy. I'm talking about connection. I'm talking about things that I wouldn't have been able to talk about 5 years ago. So there is definitely a change with that. And also, I think for people that want to feel, because people that work in organizations, and I think the 9-to-5 job sometimes gets a bit of a hard rap. Mm-hmm. I know lots of people that have got a 9-to-5 job and they love it. They have a great time. And it's about really loving what you do and having that energy to what you do, and making sure that if you don't enjoy your job, there is other things in your life. But when you are in your job, you give what you can to your job. And I think, it's really looking and helping people find the mastery in their day, because you can find wonder in anything. I find it's the meaning that you put on something that makes it wonderful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's funny though, because when you say that, I go, it's interesting, because staying still all day behind a computer is sometimes absolutely enervating, absolutely challenging, is it not?
I used to say, because a big part of the business that I used to run when I used to work for the insurance company in the UK was call based. So I used to say it's quite hard being attached to a wire for 7.5 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. That's very thwarting, isn't it? That would keep my light a little bit daunted there, if not a lot.
Yeah, and I work with a wonderful woman called, her name's Kathy, and she owns a company called Office Om, and she does chair yoga with people. Mm-hmm. So she gives them lots of different positions that they can do throughout the day. But standing is very, because they say that sitting now is the new smoking.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually killing us within, because the most problems that people are having within organizations, unfortunately, is stress, anxiety, depression, and the issues, muscular and spinal issues with sitting.
Mm-hmm.
So I always recommend that people stand as well as sit. And you have then moments where people can move around and they can stand up and to have them times where you can get out of and definitely on a lunchtime go for a walk,
run the stairs, some of the apartments, the higher rises,
just increase that energy is so important. That's why the Fitbits, they're so brilliant, because they will just, and especially because you can go in competition with your friends and things, you're just like trying to get them 10,000 steps in every day is so useful, because it does help you in the fact that if you're sitting for that amount of time, your energy is going to drop, but also realizing the power of water. So whenever I work in organizations, I'll always encourage people to drink as much water, because there's so much oxygen in it, and it can really make a difference to the way that we are and our energy levels. So water, obviously a good diet, but moving as much as possible, even if it's just moving your legs or moving your body and your shoulders, just to make sure that you're active with when you are sitting down.
So the office managers are less containing or controlling than they used to be regarding that, right?
Oh, completely. Well, because it's such an issue. Yeah, it's such an issue. There's more, I'm seeing more and more standing desks, more and more standing desks, because it's, you're better to stand for a certain amount of time than sitting. And especially lunch times, if that's why yoga sessions are so useful. And there's lots of people practicing. I work with a Qigong master as well, and that's brilliant as well for lunch times as well, to just really get that, the blocks in the energy flowing within the body.
Also, I have a few clients that have created devices where people stand on them and they can move sort of semicircularly while they're standing on them. You know, they use those at stand-up desks. Have you seen those?
No, they sound brilliant.
They are brilliant. You know, people are really smart. So the light is on the rise, and I wanted you to go back to, for example, the seven-year-olds. Can you walk into, these aren't seven-year-olds right now, but if you walk into an office, can you switch the light on with those people, even if they don't have time for a break or a...
I think it's for people that are working in offices... Again, morning practice, absolutely essential. If you can move before you get to work, that is so powerful. So powerful. It can really get your energy levels. So there's loads of ways that you can do your morning charge. It could be, as I mentioned earlier, practicing yoga or meditation, or having a walk in the morning. Maybe if there's a possibility where you can do a commute where half of the commute is walking, just so you can get that energy level, so you're not going, waking up, going in the car, going straight to sitting down, just so you break that pattern, which is really important. And also when you're at your desk, having some prompts that make you feel good. It's so important to make us feel good, having photos of people that we love around us, making sure that you are, maybe you have some, I've got looking in front of me now, it's a calendar with lots of lovely inspirational quotes on there. It's just about feeding yourself for goodness and sparking that light up yourself, and also working out ways on what turns your light on and making sure that they are priority, so you're doing that every day. Doogling, if you can doogle on your desk, and just being mindful of how do I feel, what do I need. So there are two questions that I inspire people to
how do I feel and what do I need,
yeah. So especially how do I feel, I feel quite hoarse. I've been speaking all day. Okay, so I need some water. Or how do I feel? Oh, well, actually, I'm a little bit tired, so I think I'm going to have an early night. Or when do we ever ask ourselves that? Mm-hmm. Who's looking after us?
Yeah, because most people have so many pressures on them these days. At least they do over here in America, big time. Mm-hmm. And they aren't always profoundly successful pressures, meaning the income is dropping and so on. So they're still on the hamster wheel, which is kind of greased lightning a lot of the times. But the success level is a little bit, it's quite a bit decreased, if you know what I mean. So there's a huge trauma in that, isn't there?
Yes, definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. And with my book, and my program, it's starting with really small steps. Mm-hmm. So I think in regards to the reason why Turn Lights On tends to work for people, is that it's quite easy and simple. As we talked about earlier, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. It's a simple practice, but can be so powerful because it gives you choice, and it also gets you on the practice of looking after yourself wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. And so becoming a human being rather than a human doing. That's what
completely,
it sounds like.
Completely.
The light is growing on the planet, though, is it not? Isn't light moving up through people in more and more like increments? Yeah.
I think so. I'm seeing it more. I'm seeing, like, lots of people just used to look at me like an alien when I used to talk about what I do. Unless people are looking at me like aliens and they're going, oh, yeah, I know this. And even what's really lovely, and it's something that I'm really proud of, they say something like a lot of people that are aware of Turn Lights On, they'll say, ooh, he's got his lights on or she's got her lights on. And I'm just like, oh, that's lovely that we're recognizing this thing that's not tangible.
And it used to be like, and who does she think she is? Now it's, because it's no longer threatening. I really think that's a very important thing that's going on right now amongst people.
Yeah.
Like you're contagious. You're a light worker who's contagious. You know what I mean? You people feel your energy and want that too.
Yes, definitely. And also, it's within us. So we just, and the more, say, for example, I like to think, say, for example, you've turned on 5 lights today. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you turn on 5 lights today, but that doesn't stop. Okay, so energy is contagious. We leave an energetic footprint wherever we go.
That's for sure.
So then 5 people will turn another 5 people's lights on, and then another 5 people's lights on, and can you see how this is just waking people up instead of having a world where we don't connect, where we disconnect, where we're just transactional? Mm-hmm. We create a world where we're seeing each other and we're connecting with each other, and then I truly believe where we will stop. Well, we will stop this polarized people are so polarized these days.
No, they are. It's really, we are. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
And disconnected. And it just takes moments, these lovely, lovely moments where people just break that down. And that can be on such a small level. And that's why Turn Lights On is so powerful, because it can just be on a small level. You don't have to change the world. You just have to change your world.
But you know something that I really love, Georgina, is that when people are, and I've known this for years, when people are seen and known, there's often a healing. And so what we're saying the same thing from a different statement, but it's so true. So you're actually activating people's self-love, self-awareness, you know, and that may not be what you're doing. You're bringing up their light, but it's like who they really are, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And giving them the permission to shine.
Isn't it wonderful?
The permission to shine. And that is so, like, they don't, I'm a big advocate in people not striving. So it's like, you don't have to do this practice to get somewhere. So it's like 7 steps to this. I don't want you to do any steps.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to look after yourself, to work out what turns your light on, and then you can then share that light. But it can start with just having, I call the intuition your inner guru. So it's about starting having your conversation with your inner guru, and that's every day.
I love that. We have to end this right now, Georgina, but I've found you really delightful and super inspiring. Can you tell people how to get hold of you if they want to? And are your classes online, the program that you talked about? Okay.
Yeah. So I've got a program called 21 Moments, and it's video content from me with a forum on there, and also some additional information as well, and extracts from my book. So I have 21 Moments, which is available on turnlightson.com. And also I have my book as well, which is available on Amazon, but you can get everything from turnlightson.com. So if people would like to sign up to the newsletter, they can do that as well. So they can just get free content and have me zooming into their email with lots of things that can turn their lights on, so they can turn other people's lights on.
I love that. Thank you so much for, I really enjoyed our time together, and I hope we'll do it again.
Yeah, I'd love that. I've really enjoyed speaking to you today.
Me too. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Paradigm Shifters. Thank you, Georgina.
Thank you.